after they got married. Ooh. We did show your picture as well, but everybody's not here the week after their wedding usually for some reason. I'll do mine differently. I'll be here to see my picture of me kissing my groom with the whole congregation to enjoy. A very good morning to everyone. My name is Juliet Berry. For those of you who don't know me, I work in the church office. So it's my privilege this morning. And Aubrey, welcome. And Rista, where's the video? Hey, Rista in the mother's room. We're all going to go have a look afterwards. Don't touch. It's just a little. All right. Let us pray. Thank you, Father God, that we can come and be reminded this morning that one day we will stand before the throne. One day we will meet you face to face. Thank you that we are set free by your blood and that we don't need to stand under a veil of shame. We don't need to stand under our past mistakes or our future ones, but that we can be covered by your blood, which sets us free, that our chains are gone. We stand in the shoes of peace, and thank you that we can look forward to that day when we will see you face to face. And I pray this morning that you open our ears to hear the word that you have prepared for us this morning and that we will receive and take heart and action it in the weeks and years to come. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this morning I'm going to speak about listening is love. Don't we all love to listen? It's not always something we do very naturally. I've met some extremely boring people in my time, and I'm sure we all have, where you ask them about one topic and then off they go on that topic, like perhaps fishing or boats or something you have no understanding of. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but if you cannot relate, like rugby, etc., it's difficult. But since the World Cup, I like rugby. It's okay. All right, so this morning I'd like to show you how one of the most important ways we can show our love to God is by listening to him. And by listening to God, we also learn to listen to those around us, and that way we can show our love to them as well. We're not just going to say, men, you need to pay attention today, okay, wives? We all need to learn to listen and do better. And I want to show you how loving and listening go hand in hand. We're going to jump right into the book of Mark. For those of us doing the daily reading, we've been in Mark, and so you can remember a lot of this perhaps, where Jesus made his public entry into Jerusalem on a donkey for Passover and is hailed as the Messiah. He then enters the temple courtyard and throws over the tables of those making profit of the worshippers. I'm sure you all remember the throwing the table. I love that part. Then he spends a week debating and confronting the leaders of Israel, exposing their hypocrisy. And in response to this, these leaders begin to make plans to murder Jesus. So we've just celebrated Easter, so we've kind of been reminded of a lot of that time as well. So this interaction takes place during the final week of Jesus' life, a time when he's challenged by religious leaders quite a few times. His response proves his deep understanding of the law and his authority as a teacher, which blows them away, of course. So let's join in at Mark 12:28-34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Or "the Lord our God is one Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind and all your strength. The second one is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. It's going to be awkward one day in heaven when he would be in heaven already, I imagine. He's going to realize who he was complimenting there. "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there's no one but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength. To love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. So we're just going to look at these verses in a bit more detail. Jesus answers the teacher when he says, which of the commandments is the greatest? And he says, "The most important one," he quotes Deuteronomy 6:4. "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." So we first look at here, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. When we hear the word hear or listen in English, we often think of waves hitting our ears. So that's sound waves, and that's listening, that's hearing. But if you've been in this church for a while, you have heard the word Shema before. And so just to recap, it's a Hebrew verb that means to hear, to pay attention, and to obey. So we don't just hear, and a lot of us, we can hear, we can hear a lot of information, we can't necessarily retain it or action it. But Shema means to hear, to pay attention, and to obey. It's not passive hearing, it's active, it's responsive. It requires an action, it requires us to do something. It's like when your mom may have said to you, "Did you hear what I said?" And she's not asking, did you hear the words coming out of my mouth?" But she's meaning, where's the action? Did you take it in? Why are you not doing it? "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy 6:4, as I mentioned. And this is known as the Shema, which is a prayer that faithful Jews quote twice a day. So that it's a reminder of the covenant relationship between them and God. So they are reminded that the Lord our God, the Lord is one. When Jesus is asked the greatest commandment, he first begins by quoting the Shema before saying, "Love God and love your neighbor." So he's first establishing, "I am God, we are one." Jesus is emphasizing the significance of what he's about to say. The commandment he's going to mention is central to Jewish and Christian belief systems. So that's the foundation. Before we're able to love God, before we're able to love our neighbor, we first need to know who God is. The Lord our God speaks of a personal relationship between God and his people and a communal faith. So he says, the Lord our God. So it's he's our God. The Lord is one. This statement emphasizes there's only one God. So it was distinguishing from other religions, which are polytheistic. So people who worship multiple gods. It's we are one. The Lord is one. As believers, we are called to listen to God's word and respond in faith. In verse 30, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." So this comes from Deuteronomy 6:5, where it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might." So Jesus is quoting, he's going back to the Old Testament, which they would have known, the teachers of the law would have known at that time. So loving the Lord your God with all your heart. So that's our emotions, our sincerity, our inner life. The Bible speaks a lot about your heart as your center, your being, your very self. So that's everything that we have. When we love him with our heart, it's everything that we have. Our soul is our identity, our uniqueness. Our mind is the thoughts, intellect, and understanding. I'm always excited for that because I think Christianity is not a faith where you just blindly follow or you get some strange command and you just follow it. Our strength or our might is our bodies, our energy, decisions, habits. So all of your heart speaks of the need for sincerity and depth in our relationship with God, that it's something that is within the depth of us. Our mind, the intellectual aspect of loving God. Romans 12:2 encourages believers to renew their minds, indicating that intellectual love for God involves aligning one's thought with the truth. So that's, as I mentioned, we get to look at the truth of God and get to align our lives with that, not align it to our lives. All our strength, it implies the use of one's physical and mental resources in service to God. And I think some of you have seen, I've started to bring out flags these days because I feel I can't worship with a guitar. I can sing, but it feels like my body wants to do something. And maybe one day I'll get the drums out or something. But I feel like sometimes we need to worship with our physical body. I think a lot of our African brothers and sisters get that right a lot better where they got some movement. So I feel like I'm trying to, I can extend myself physically in that way by just like, "Lord, I've got more, I'm exploding, what do I do?" So let's tap into that with our strength. If you need to do some push-ups in worship, just let it go. Follow the Lord. Loving God in this way shows us it's not merely an emotion or a thought. So it's not just something. I think a lot of us have grown up with a different idea of what love means as well. And so loving God can sound a little bit like, I mean, I love him, I say I love him, I do what is right, but it is something so much deeper. It's not a thoughtless ritual separate from reality. So it's not just something we wear tassels or we wear certain things and therefore love God, but it's something deeper. It involves every aspect and fiber of our being. All of us is very much alive and involved in loving God, which also means at different stages of our life, it might look different, different abilities we have. Yeah, I think this makes me excited that there's still so much we can explore about loving God and expressing how we love God. And the love that he offers us as well, that we experience it in part and then we experience a deeper fullness and more of a fullness as we get to know him. Many of us have probably not engaged every aspect of our very being to love God. So there's so much more we can look forward to, just where we feel like we're bursting and there's got to be a new expression in our worship, in our love. If we look at verse 31, it says, the second is this. So the first is love God. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. So this is from Leviticus 19:18. It says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So loving your neighbor as yourself. So we are reminded in Luke 10 of the parable of the Good Samaritan. And in that is where the priest walks by. There's someone who's robbed and left on the side of the road. Priest walks by, two others walk by, and the one at the end is the one who helps him. And he has a different religion. They are not supposed to mix with each other. So this is kind of worst case scenario, and yet he helps him, pays for him. And I'm often reminded in that our neighbor may not be who we think they may be. Sometimes it's literally the person next door to you. Sometimes it is someone who's from a very different ethnic background or social background. But it's loving someone in a selfless and sacrificial way, reflecting the love Christ demonstrated. And that is very challenging for a lot of us, where we live in a place where our colleagues may not be the most friendly, or our neighbors may not be the most friendly, our housemates may not be the easiest to get along with, but God has called us to love them. That doesn't make us doormats, but loving them is sacrificial and selfless. When you have children, you learn all about that. And if you don't learn with your children, God will keep introducing you to people where you can be shaped and molded. So learn. All right, 1 John 4:20-21 says, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. We also have that when we take communion, it says if you've got something against your brother, first go and make right before you take communion. Otherwise, you bring a curse over yourself. And I think that's definitely hit me a few times in communion where I realized there's someone I'm offended with or someone I need to make right with. And it's in those moments I'm reminded to seek my heart to find out who that is that I'm still holding that offense or that hurt towards and sort that out. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. The way we show that we love God is by loving others. We cannot say we love God and not others. So I think many of us, it's easy to love people in general, and then there's that but so-and-so, but he or she did that, but. It doesn't say there's a but here at all. It just says all. We need to love with all. Yes, okay. How can I show love to my brother? One of the greatest ways is by listening. I think many of you have heard the quote by a pastor named David Augsburger, who said, being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable. And I've heard a lot of people saying that before, where I speak, but I feel like I'm ignored, or I feel like they don't really understand what I'm saying. I feel like my daughter and I do that all the time. She's 19, almost 20, and we both speak, but don't always understand what each other are trying to explain or what we mean. And I think in many relationships we can speak, but we don't really feel heard. That is a skill we can all improve in, I'm sure. We love people by showing up, by stopping when others keep walking, by paying attention to their needs, and that starts with listening. If we don't listen, we're not going to know what their needs are. So sometimes it's as simple as just WhatsApping when they're on your heart, or phoning, or just, you know, perhaps that coffee that you've been meaning to get, just make it rather a WhatsApp and say, thinking of you, can I pray for you, or what's up, and see how you can pray for them. It's easy to fake listening. We pretend to listen while thinking about what to say next. Or we act like we're listening, but we're distracted or multitasking. I think when we've got a phone in our hand, that often happens. But when we really listen, when we're still and focused and engaged, it's an act of love. I don't know how many of you have had those friends in your life or those people in your life that just sit and give you full attention. Or when you're grieving, they just come and sit and cry with you or sit and put their arm around you. And that to me is very special, where you just feel, I'm heard, I'm seen. It gives you value. And the opposite, hearing without listening is a danger. Jesus points out again and again when speaking to the religious leaders. He quotes Isaiah 6:9 saying, be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. And that can be us. We can hear and not understand. We can see and not perceive. So we need something deeper to help us to understand, to hear properly. The teachers of the law had access to God's word, yet failed to grasp the deeper spiritual truths. In Mark 4:12, after the parable of the sower, Jesus says, they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. And I'm sure many of us know the parable of the sower, where it says there's the seeds, and some fell on fertile ground, some fell on rocky ground, and we need to be those who are fertile. That we hear, we receive, it grows deep, and we perceive what the Lord's saying. It's possible to be religious. We can go to church, read our Bible. We can, like me, only listen to Christian radio stations in the car. Yes. Fasting once a week, praying twice a day, and we cannot truly be listening to God in that. We can do those things and tick the boxes. And I've often said to the Lord, I feel there's more, like I'm doing these things. And those things are good because we need those spiritual disciplines in our life. We need to be fasting. We need to be praying. We need to be coming to church. We need to be coming to the small groups because that's where we grow, where we get the truth, where we worship. But we want to be getting into a depth of that love with God and knowing that depth of love. We can't do any of this if we're not led by the Holy Spirit, and that is the key, that the Holy Spirit, Phil, is like that. He takes away the veil for our sight, and there must be a kind of a block over our ears where he takes that away, or maybe gives us a hearing aid that is clear and that we can hear above the noise of the world around us. Knowledge is not enough. We need the Holy Spirit to open our spiritual ears to hear God. I think those of us who've done 3, 4, 5 years of Bible school, been in church for 25 years, led small group, done all of that, we know a lot. We know a lot of knowledge. We know the Word of God. Some can quote Scripture. Some can quote Scripture with the verse that it comes from. But still, we may not actually be in that deep relationship with the Lord. We may not be hearing Him clearly if we're just moving in our own with our own knowledge. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, don't just let the sound hit your ears. Receive it and respond to it. The good news is we're not left to figure this out alone. The Holy Spirit opens our ears and gives us the grace to hear. I'm so thankful that the Lord didn't expect us to do life alone or figure this out by ourselves. He gave us a helper, and we don't just have the one. When Jesus was on the earth and you had to find him to get healed, now we have the Holy Spirit around for all of us to receive. John 10:27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Isaiah 55:2-3 says, listen to me and eat what is good. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. That you may live. Listening is important. The Holy Spirit gives us new hearts, new minds, and new ears to hear what the Lord is saying. So how do we practically listen to God? I think one of the biggest lies I've believed in my life, and probably many of us do, is that we can't really hear God. We're not sure if we're hearing God. And I think that's a lifelong journey to keep making sure and to keep asking the Lord to be clear, or asking the Holy Spirit to help us to have ears that can hear clearly, because the Lord is always clear. We're just not always able to discern. God is always speaking. But we were made, and we were made to hear his voice. So we don't need to believe that lie that we can't hear his voice, because we were made to hear his voice. He made us to have community with him, to be in community with him. God speaks to us in different ways, but it's always aligned with his word. So we firstly need to know his word, because if we don't know his word, then we're going to easily wander off. I'm shocked at some of the cults that have formed based on parts of scripture that I think is so unbelievable. But actually, if you take anything out of context and you don't know the truth, then it's easier to believe those things. So the first way God speaks is through scripture, always. We need to know the word of God through people, so through our Christian brothers and sisters. But we always test those words. We test what people say to us. Even well-meaning people can just be a little bit off-center, or maybe going through their own things at that time and give you a word that's not from the Lord. Through creation, I think in Cape Town, we don't have to wonder if God is real when you just look out the window, see the mountains, and you go hiking, you go for a run, and feel your lungs burning, some of us, and realize that this is the Lord that has created all of this. And he speaks through the still, small voice of his spirit. And I think that's sometimes the hardest to hear, because our mind and the Holy Spirit can, we're not always sure which one to believe, but that's where we ask the Holy Spirit to be clear and to be louder than the other voices. If we want to hear him, we need to make space for him. That means taking time. That means learning to be quiet. That means learning to pay attention. And in this hustle and bustle of the world that we live in, and overtime and deadlines and cell phones beeping all day, that is something we have to make intentional time to do. And I'm very guilty of just feeling like the 5 minutes quickly in the morning, or I'm going to set aside this hour, and then my son wakes up and off I go rushing around, and then think, oh, if I got up a little earlier, I could have actually had a better time with the Lord, or a more quality. Not because it's commanded, but because that is how I'm going to grow, and that is how he's going to speak to me. So we can practically listen to God in those ways, through scripture, people, creation, the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. And then we can practically listen to people as well. So if we're first listening to God and we're receiving and we are actioning what he's telling us to do, then we can go and love people. We can go and listen to them. Listening is obviously just one aspect of loving people. So listening is a practical way that we can love people. So this week you'll have opportunities to listen to your partner, perhaps your friend, your boss, your colleague, a child, a stranger. So how you listen could be the moment someone feels seen and loved by God. I think that's, I've seen some people in this church that really stop and speak to people and look them in the eye, and you can see that there's a real sense of importance. So it's a complete stranger on the street, perhaps to any of us, we would just pass by, and they stop and look them in the eye and talk to them. And I think that is so beautiful. We don't always have time for that, but we really need to be sensitive. We are those times where we need to stop and engage. Are you listening? You can love God and not love people. That's a bit easier to do. But if we're really loving God, I think we're going to know and be convicted that we're not loving people. You can love people, but not love God, which would be harder, I think. What Jesus calls us to do is to love God and love people. And one very practical way we can do that is by listening. Revelation 3:20 says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." Jesus is knocking. Are you listening in a way that leads to action? So I really want us to take some time this morning. We have a bit of time still to pray into this. And if this Jesus knocking on the door is someone that you are not familiar with, or that you feel like you've known growing up, but you really haven't found that you've met him in the way that was perhaps described today, then I want us to be able to take this time to, you can get into the corner at the back there. There'll be people who can pray with you. And you can just say to them that, "I don't know this Jesus. Can you pray with me?" And we can pray with you. And if you are someone who's known the Lord for many years, and maybe like me, it's just like, "Lord, I don't hear your voice. It's a lie." And that's great, because we get to bring it in the light and just say, "I believe this lie, Lord. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear it clearly." And we can pray over you that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you and will open up those ears that have been blocked, probably by the things of the world or by past hurts or by religious activities over the years. So I just want us to take this time. If there's someone next to you that you want to share something with, that you have learned from this or something you want to action that you feel the Lord's been saying to you, but you haven't had a chance to action it, then I want to give us a space to do that. So I'm going to ask the worship team to just come forward, and if that is you, one of these people who doesn't know the Lord, or if you feel like you don't hear the Lord's voice, then I want you to come. If you don't hear the Lord's voice, perhaps just come to the front. There's a bit more space, and we can pray with you and really trust for a shift in that and that lie to be broken. I'm just going to pray for us. Father God, I thank you that you're a God who speaks to us. I thank you that you are always speaking to us. Like the grains of sand, so many are your thoughts towards us, and your thoughts towards us are good. Your thoughts towards us are not like our earthly fathers who may have been critical, who may have been judgmental, who may have said, why can't you be more like this or be more like that? So Lord, I pray this morning for hearts to be receptive to what you want to do in their lives, to break those lies that we have believed or that have been spoken over us, that we will never be or we cannot be, and that, Lord, that we can be set free this morning to be able to listen to your voice and to be able to act, to be able to receive love from you so that we can go and love others and be able to take time to listen to others. And even if we don't have the solutions, that you have the solutions for them, Lord, that we can just share your love with them. So I pray this morning, Lord, that you will come and do a mighty work in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you would like some prayer, you can come to the back or to the front. We'll have people.
Maybe as we just stand, as a band leads us in worship, if